The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work, plan to sleep all day.
See, and Tweedly Dum seems to be advising Donald Trump behind the scenes. Now, if you want to be mean, you could call them Robespierre and Madame Defarge. But I think Robespierre and Madame Defarge seem to be making hysterical decisions for their boss without his knowledge. For example, who made the crazy decision to antagonize China? It was an antagonist that did this, and I think I know why it was done and how it was done, but it was a mistake, a clear mistake in my opinion. We have first of all, I'm calling this opening to the show, Welcome to the Savage Nation, is Trump's Taiwan Turmoil, because it is turmoil. And reaching out to Russia, as I had suggested to Mr. Trump when he had been on this show months ago, actually only a month ago, it's hard to believe how long ago, how short ago it was, reaching out to a potential antagonist who was being antagonized by Obama, and stopping a potential blow-up was very wise. But reaching out to China at a time like this was very unwise. We talked for months now about how Trump was going to save the world from war by talking with Russia. You heard Donald Trump say on this program that he would be willing to talk with Mr. Putin before he even took office. That was worldwide news that he made on this radio program. And Donald Trump calmed a lot of tense nerves that those who were poking the bear were inflaming. And we were very happy that Mr. Trump won. But I believe now those behind him made a major mistake. He took a congratulatory call from the president of Taiwan. At least that is what we are told. That's after the fact. It could be he actually called Taiwan. We don't know the truth of that. Now, I'm in the business, I'm going to tell you right now, of seeking the truth. Otherwise, I would retire. There'd be no reason to do this show. I have to call it like I see it. I don't know whether he called Taiwan and got in trouble and then say, okay, put a spin on it, they called me. It doesn't matter. It was a mistake. It was a mistake because he roiled China in a very negative way. Richard Nixon, you may recall, was able to stabilize relations with another major communist power in the middle of the Cold War by recognizing the government of China as the power in charge of Taiwan. This has been the policy of the United States since 1972, and that was Richard Nixon. Don't tell me Richard Nixon was a liberal. It's the policy of this country since 1972, and it's one of the most serious stances that China has ever taken. I believe respecting that without letting them roll Taiwan over is the key to keeping peace in the region. Now, supposedly this call to Taiwan was in the works for a while, but the alarming thing that Trump did here was that his people did not consult with any of our allies or even let them know that this would happen. It puts our allies and many others in that region of the world in a very bad position. So two questions arise out of this. Who pushed Donald Trump to be in contact with Taiwan even before he is president? And I think that we have to look at a number of people. And I would look immediately at some of the appointments he's already announced. For example, I told you last week it was odd that he picked Elaine Chao to be transportation secretary. Remember I said, why did he pick her? Well, I worried about her because she's the wife of Mitch McConnell, and this looks like nepotism number one. But what you may not know is that I believe Ms. Chao, a wonderful woman, is a native of Taiwan, and she may already be influencing our Asia policy. So this leads to the next question. What does this imply and what does it mean? China has been building islands in the South China Sea from where it will have capabilities to launch attacks on Taiwan, Japan, and South Korea, the Philippines, and yes, maybe even Hawaii. There are reports now that before the call was made, China was flying bombers around Taiwan. This is not something to take lightly. While calming tensions in one area of the world, Russia, Trump may have inflamed them elsewhere inadvertently. And if he's leaning towards recognizing Taiwan as an independent nation, he'll have more than a trade war to worry about. He may have a real war to worry about. This is Michael Savage, and I agree 100% with my monologue. Now, I would think that if he wanted to reach out to China, he could have done it in a much more diplomatic fashion. He could have tweeted, Wo ai ni, for example, which means I love you. Or he could have done it in Cantonese, Go or ni, if that's how you say it. Pardon me if I'm mashing the language. I don't speak a word of Chinese other than to say dofu. Gai, if you're Hakka Chinese, he could have said, Gai or gi. I like the Hakka a lot because their food is the best, incidentally. Or, if he was oriented towards the Shanghainese, he could have said, Gu en non. Again, these all mean I love you. It's a type of dialectical thing, and I don't mean dialectical materialism. I mean simply dialect. What is the proper way to reach out to China? Now, for Mike Pence to come up and apologize, I'm sorry, to cover up this blunder, as he did, is ludicrous for a number of reasons. Again, I realize I'm not making any friends in the Trump administration, especially Robespierre and Madame Defarge. But my suspicion is that Robespierre and Madame Defarge will be gone from this administration while I'm still on the radio. I'll tell you that right now. See, I'm in it for the long haul. I've always seen things in the long picture, the long march. I've been on a long march for 22 years in radio. And I see myself in radio for a long time to come. I do not see this temporary group around Donald Trump as being there for a very long period of time for a number of reasons. One, because people are taking credit for him winning who have only been there for 2 months. Where were they 2 years ago? Where were they a year ago? That's number one. Number two, some of them are showing their own ambitions rather than speaking for the president-elect's best interests, in my opinion. And eventually the president-elect will uncover these plotters around him, and they will be looking for jobs. I'm telling you like I see it. So again, you got to understand something here. If I wanted something from the administration, I would bend over backwards to salute everything he does. But I cannot do that in this case. I think it was a blunder. And I don't think he did this on his own. I believe he was advised to do this by people who did not think this through. Now, if you care to comment on it, you can do so. Obviously, it's a talk show. And the phone number is 855-407-2282. I think we should play Mr. Pence's remarks, the incoming vice president, comparing this to Obama reaching out to Cuba, which is absolutely an absurd analogy for a number of reasons. But let's listen to Mike Pence's statement.
This was a courtesy call. And plus, it's a little mystifying to me that President Obama can reach out to a murdering dictator in Cuba in the last year and be hailed as a hero for doing it. And President-elect Donald Trump takes a courtesy call from a democratically elected leader in Taiwan, and it's become something of a controversy. But I think the American people appreciate the fact that our president-elect is taking calls from and reaching out to the world and preparing on day one to lead America on the world stage.
Totally fallacious analogy. Poor logic. Makes no sense. What is the difference, ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Nation, between Cuba and China? Well, I give you a few differences. For one, Cuba is a small nation without nuclear weapons. That's number one. That's the obvious. And for Obama to have reached out to them shows more about Obama's stupidity than it does about anything else. There was no need to reach out to a murderous dictatorship in Cuba, none whatsoever. But we're not talking about the outgoing president, we're talking about the incoming president. This was a major blunder before he's even taken office. Now, I recognize that many of you have already made up your minds because you've been brainwashed by talk radio before I even got on the air. But that's only one opinion. People are entitled to their opinion in this country. Now, you listen probably to those who are supporting the president's call to Taiwan. And you've already made up your minds, but you haven't thought it through. And we are going to think it through because I take a different point of view. And my point of view is far more, let us say, diplomatic than those who would think that blundering into a confrontation with China before the seat is even sat upon is a good thing to do. I disagree 100%. Terrible mistake. Terrible mistake. Awful mistake. A blunder of the highest order. And I do not think that Mr. Trump thought this through. I believe Robespierre or Madame Defarge herself may have advised this in the middle of the night. Now, having said that, I know that some of you want to comment on this. There are other topics I want to talk about, and I would be happy to do so. The lines are already jamming up, and some of the other topics are very good as well. Over the weekend, we heard from Mr. Petraeus, General Petraeus, appearing on some shows because he's lobbying to become Secretary of State. And I believe he went on George, whatever his name is. You know, I'm not a fan of George Stephanopoulos. I think he's a cretin. I believe he never should have been in the media to begin with. He's just a pretty boy with a script. But everyone kowtows to these people for the wrong reasons. So David Petraeus, who I think is a great man and a great general, by the way, McChrystal was another great general. We have some of our great generals are gone, by the way. Petraeus was a good one, if not a, I wouldn't say great one, but a good one. McChrystal was the real McCoy. These are good men. These are strong men, smart men, educated men. And he wants, that is, Mr. Petraeus would like to be Secretary of State, so he's lobbying for it. So he goes on the ABC show on Sunday, and he's one of the four finalists in the running to be the nation's next top diplomat. And that's a very big story that we're going to talk about, because I would lead you to understand something. Who the Secretary of State appoints in any administration is extremely important. Do you know that the Secretary of State appoints leaders of the Interior Department, Agriculture Department, Labor Department, HUD, House of Housing and Urban Development? He appoints Energy, Veterans Affairs, Homeland Security, the EPA, Small Business Administration, and the OMB. All are appointed by the Secretary of State. Do you realize how important this position is and why all of these agencies are screwed up? Because it was Hillary Clinton who did all these appointments in the past. And so what I would say to you is, I would give you a question, which is Petraeus the best choice? Is he better than Giuliani, for example, or any of the others in the running? I think it's a great question because we're coming into some serious waters now. But I know most of you want to talk about China, and I would love to hear your positions on this. Again, the phone number is 855-407-282. And go, I Lee. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Huge diplomatic blunder. And, you know, the more I analyze this mistake of provoking and poking China this early in the game, the more I realize that there are people who are rogue inside the administration who don't know what the heck they're doing. Period. End of story. What do you want to do? Worship them? Look, if you want something, you worship people. You tell them they're brilliant no matter what they do. If you have sought the truth in politics your whole life, what you do is you retain your independence, and you retain your independence by being analytical, and you say it the way you see it. It's as simple as that. Because I don't want war with China. You want war with China now? Are you people that stupid? Go put on a uniform and go fight with China now over Taiwan, idiots. All the warmongers are ready. They're jumping up and down. Oh, what a great thing to provoke China. And then Pence is not that smart. I'm sorry. What, because he's the governor of Indiana? Does that make him a genius? No, it didn't make sense. How do you compare Obama reaching out to Cuba with Trump reaching out to Taiwan? It's like not the same thing. Now, remember, I'm the guy who encouraged Donald Trump to reach out to Russia. So don't think I'm saying this across the board. Don't reach out. I did say reach out to Russia because there was war fever being beaten up by Hillary Clinton and the Girl Scouts around Obama. They were looking for a fight with Russia, which was a disaster. Now we see, okay, he made peace with Russia, terrific. ISIS is on the run. They're all throwing down their weapons and making believe they were common tailors, and they want to come to Los Angeles as immigrants and open a falafel shop. That's all good. But now what? Now you want war with China? I don't. See, if you want to talk with China about trade, that's one thing. Why would you start a trade discussion by attacking them on Taiwan, which is a sore point? Can you explain that to me? Now, many of you aren't thinking this through. You just listen to people talk and you don't think it through. Let me explain something about the Chinese character or the Chinese culture that you may not be aware of. They're not like us. Their traditions are different than ours. They are extremely sensitive to provocations that are public. That's number one. You've heard a thousand times they're very, very, very into face saving. Well, there's a reason for it. It's in the DNA. It's encoded in the DNA of the Chinese culture. And to provoke them out front like this is not smart. You want to have an argument with China or a discussion with China over trade policies. You want to impose tariffs, which I've called for in three books now. That's one thing. But why would you go about it publicly by provoking them, almost challenging them over Taiwan? How does that advance your cause with regard to currency and trade issues? It doesn't. It's idiotic. It's stupid. So there's a big blunder here. And I don't know who exactly whispered in Mr. Trump's ear to do this so early on in the game. My suspicions would be that it's Elaine Chao. Pardon me if I'm mispronouncing her name. Because I understand she is Taiwanese. And she was appointed immediately. Out of nowhere, she was made or nominated to be Secretary of Transportation. She's Mitch McConnell's wife. So I would say she has deep ties to her homeland. And maybe she owed favors, and right away she wanted to pay her favors back. Now, having said all of that, I'm a huge supporter of the Taiwanese people. I mean, don't think I don't understand the difference between Taiwan and China. I know the history of these two nations and their disputes. I have studied them in great deal for many years, in great detail, sorry, for many years. I'm very aware of the war between the communists and the capitalists. And how the capitalist class went to Taiwan and built a great, great nation because they eschewed communism. I understand Chiang Kai-shek. Trust me, I know the difference. That's not the same as violating protocol.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Social rejects are now running the world. No one ever heard of him. 4 months ago, no one heard of the people. Now they're making decisions. Call Taiwan. You hear this? Where'd they come up with this? Who came up with this in the middle of the night? Stupid. And Pence is not showing any analysis here. To compare Obama calling Castro to Trump calling or being called by, whatever the case may be, the female president of Taiwan is ludicrous. It makes no sense. Obama reached out to an antagonist in Cuba, which I disapproved of because he was a dictator. I mean, both were, but he's a terrible dictator. Trump reached out not to an antagonist, but to a friend who is an antagonist of our enemy, our economic enemy, only provoking and making the Gulf even wider. Now, if you want to negotiate with China over trade issues, you don't do it by threatening them by supporting Taiwan. I'm sorry, I wouldn't recommend it. Who would make such a recommendation? So in other words, what they're thinking, let's say it was done on purpose. Let's say they're smarter than we think. And so they did it to show China that we're tough. We're not afraid of them. There's a new sheriff in town. We're not going to be bullied, blah, blah, blah. So we're going to reach out now to something like Taiwan and say to them, okay, we'll even go to a nuclear showdown with you over trade. Wrong, 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 wrong. With the Chinese, you negotiate in silence. You do it behind the scenes. You don't do it by publicly provoking them and by trying to bully them. Now, of course, they've been bullying us for years, and that's because they own the lobby class in Washington. Speaking of which, God, I got to get into this whole thing of the hedge funds, the costume party Saturday on Long Island that Mr. Trump went to with Kellyanne Conway dressed as a witch. There was something wrong about the whole picture. I couldn't put the pieces together. There's something wrong with that whole picture. Why would he go to a costume party of a hedge fund operator after he told us he was going to drain the swamp? That's number one. Well, it tells us a lot of things, number one. But number two, I mean, I'm not a big fan of hedge funds or hedge fund operators for a couple of reasons. Fundamentally, they're very brilliant pirates who have no, let us say, loyalty to the nation or to any of the businesses that they go into, as far as I can tell. It's a gambling enterprise. It's like betting on a horse at Aqueduct. So they know which horse to bet on. It makes them great Americans. there was a time when people in the stock market invested in companies, and they invested in the company grew, the company built, the company made good products, they hired people. That was one thing. But now when you're dealing with a thing like just betting and betting and betting and betting, speculating in other words, if you study the history of the stock market, you realize that rampant speculation usually leads to ruination. So I don't know where this is going to lead us. I'm very glad he's loyal to his friends who donated to him. That's very nice to see. I told you Donald Trump looks like a man who's very loyal to his friends and very, 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 very hard to forgive his enemies. I get that. I also respect that. I'm the same way. I'm a good friend to have. I'm not really a bad enemy because I have no power. Luckily, I have no power, none whatsoever. But I'm a very good friend. I never forget my friends in the smallest way. I never forget people who are nice or kind to me. Never. People who burn me up, what I usually do, if they go out of the way to antagonize me, I always say, vengeance is God's. And I have never, ever seen that fail. I'm being very personal right now. Everyone who has stood in my way in the radio business from the time I began, and I'll say it again, they're gone from the business. And it wasn't because I did anything. Somehow, some way, something happened, and they're out of the business. And that's because I believe I have a destiny to fulfill. And so I've had one setback after another, and then one, you know, good thing after another. And in the long run, it's all balanced out, and I'm doing well. There'll be some setbacks coming up in January for this show, and then some advances that you don't know about. And all I can say is vengeance is God's. Let the people be the judge. But I'd rather talk about Donald Trump's decision to blunder into this fiasco here. It's a major league diplomatic fiasco. Now, you say, why are you saying it? Why are you not, you know, holding your counsel and talking about other topics? He's not president yet. Well, if he's not president yet, then why is he antagonizing China yet? What I'm trying to do in doing this publicly is simple. I am putting my own career ambition second, and I'm putting the betterment of the world and the nation first. I want Donald Trump to hear what I am saying. I want it delivered to him in a typescript. And I want him to understand that I don't think this was wise, and I think whoever advised them on this should be fired. How's that? Period. End of story. That's what Michael Savage just said. Whoever misadvised them on this Taiwan blunder should be fired quietly. They should be given the cotton outside Trump Towers. The box should be waiting for them at the door. That's what's done in corporations. Doesn't he fire? Didn't he always fire people that were no good anymore? Remember the years he was in business? You're fired. You're hired. You think that the people who are Johnny Come Lately, so suddenly, no one ever heard of some of these people. Nobody heard of them. A flop pollster came from nowhere. The next thing is she's running the world. Another guy was with a website that he joined a couple of years ago, bought his way in. Now he's running the world. How did this happen? Does that make them brilliant? No, it makes them very smart, Machiavellian types, who moved into the inner circle and were very lucky. They bet on a winner. Does that mean that they're going to make decisions that are correct for the nation and the world? I don't think so. There are skilled diplomats who have been dealing with China for years, and they've been getting screwed royally because they're moronic. I understand that. But there are skilled diplomats who are China experts who could have advised Donald Trump another way to do this. There's another way to do things. You know, this thing about diplomacy occurs in interpersonal relations. It occurs in business relations. It occurs in international relations. It occurs in... I'm not the best diplomatic person on the planet. I don't claim to be a diplomat. But I must tell you that over the years, I've had the opportunity to travel to many cultures and see the differences in how different cultures are, how different the climate in cultures and the culture in... It's all different. It's not all the same. It's not like hammering somebody on Wall Street or beating somebody up at a real estate deal in Manhattan. You cannot run the world the way you ran a business in Manhattan, around the world. It does not work the same around the world. There are subtleties around the world that do not translate well. You may have to push people around in Manhattan to get a building built, but you don't push the Chinese government around in order to get a trade war resolved. Yes, we are in a trade war. I have very carefully called for tariffs on Chinese goods for several years now, going back to government zero, because we're being out-traded by them and by Mexico and many other countries. That makes sense, but there's a way to do it behind the scenes. Maybe his approach is different. Maybe his approach is to do a full frontal threat on one level to get something else, and maybe he'll be successful. And I wish him the best if that is his strategy, but I don't think so. Because this didn't have to happen so early on, by the way. It's that simple. So if you want to disagree with me or agree, fine. Go ahead. Let's take some calls on this. Who's the best here? David on WABC. Yes, talk.
This is Dave.
I know it's Dave. Say something already.
100% I agree with you. And I know that I have a brother-in-law who's Chinese. And also, I learned from Martin Yan, you know, Chinese food, you have to be sensitive to the culture and use chopsticks. There's a lot of things that you have.
All right, a moron. A moron. A Howard Stern caller. Next on the Yabba Yabba Doodoo next. Where'd you get this one from? Jimmy, you're doing your job. What are you talking about chopsticks in New York for? And you put them on an act on Line 9. Go ahead, please. Make sense.
No problem. Listen, I don't agree with everything you say. I think that's healthy. But in this situation, not only do I 100% agree with you, I think it's incredibly dangerous. And he has doubled and tripled down. He has done follow-up tweets that can only be described as antagonistic. And you know what? The question is, who's going to go to fight, God forbid? Because I know he and his children will not. And that's something. Who's going to walk the walk?
All right, let me ask you this question, because many people are probably asking it. Are you a liberal who voted for Hillary Clinton?
I am an American who, and I'll tell you why I voted for Hillary Clinton. You know what?
I know. See, that's what I'm going to be accused of now by all the quislings in the media. That basically I'm a liberal for saying Donald Trump was wrong. If the day comes that I can't criticize a man I supported, that's the day that we're living in a concentration camp.
Let's not digress from this issue. He is the president-elect, and he has done something to antagonize the Chinese government, which is...
Let me ask you this. I'm not doing this for devil's advocacy, but let me ask you, when Obama reached out to Cuba, did you support that?
Okay, here's what I... When he reached out to Cuba, it was to maybe ease the some of the suffering of the Cuban people. Ultimately,
no, it wasn't. No, it was to show solidarity with a communist dictator. You see, that's where I disagree with you, Stephen. Okay. Obama himself is a worldwide socialist. He's one of the few left. All the others have either resigned or are quitting because they've been thrown out of office. No, I think you're 100% wrong on that. That was a blunder on the part of Obama to reach out to that dictator Castro, who killed 15,000 of his own countrymen. I disagree with you on that one.
That's fair enough. I want to stick with this, okay? Because, God forbid, I think, isn't this that straight, shorter distance to...
All right, there's different opinions on this. All I know is that the Chinese food takeout that I ordered is waiting for my break, and it's getting cold. So I got to rush through a couple of calls, because if my food gets cold, I'm going to really be in a bad mood for hour number two. I got a mild migraine starting because I only was able to grab one bite as my assistant came in with the food. There's nothing worse than being in talk radio during lunchtime. I can't change my timing. No matter when I get up, I still want to eat at a certain... So I'm trying to say to you, I got to finish this up and move on to another topic. I know many of you disagree with me because you listened to another talk show for 2 hours and got brainwashed. And what's intriguing about that is that man attacked Trump for 6 straight months, calling you Trumpers, Trumpeteers, Trumpettes, Trumps, Trumpsters, Trumpetettes, Trumpettes, Trumpsters, Bunsters, for 6 months. Then when he saw which way the wind was blowing, he became the greatest supporter of Donald Trump. Now, of course, everything Trump does is genius. Not my cup of tea. I prefer oolong, by the way. I don't know what tea you drink. Let's play the Chinese national... Okay, not enough. We did that already. Let's go to the other callers. WMAC in Georgia. Robin, line 8, go ahead, please. Did Trump do right or wrong in reaching out to Taiwan or taking their call?
Well, he was wrong due to the fact that everything was made in China back in the 50s, Taiwan or Hong Kong. And I guess what Donald Trump is trying to do is to bring that money back into those countries and eventually end up back in America. Biden would come quicker than if he let the Hillary Clinton. It's going to come no matter what. There, but
so you're saying Trump shouldn't have antagonized China, correct?
Well, he should not have, but due to the fact that he already have antagonized him by saying that he's going to stop some of the trading from China and make them fair trading as far as with the United States. If China does not want anything from America no more than their money, which we do pay interest on the trillions of dollars that we owe China. We are supporting our military just by interest alone, the United States.
Robin, you're saying Trump made a mistake and he's showing his inexperience in doing this. Are you a Hillary supporter or did you vote for Donald?
Well, I am a Hillary supporter, and it is not too late.
So, let me ask you this. Are you just saying it because you think it's an opportunity to attack Donald Trump? I mean, it's a fair question.
No, due to the fact that we have until December the 19th to have the Electoral College to decide as to who will be the president.
All right, so you're actually hoping Trump loses. You're actually hoping he gets thrown out of office before he even starts.
Well, actually, he has not been elected due to the fact that by the popular vote, Hillary Clinton got more votes than he has.
Yeah, but you see, that's a separate discussion. I would say to you that if you eliminated the 4 or 5 million illegal aliens who Obama has flooded into America over the last 8 years, Trump actually won by a landslide. But that's a separate discussion. I appreciate you listening so intently. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. All right, the other topics that I'm going to try and talk with you about today on the show are not related at all, which would be Nancy Pelosi, the octogenarian, winning an attempt at a revolution to change the Democrat Party more toward the working person. And she wants business as usual. She wants San Francisco values. You know, going to San Francisco with a flower in your hair, but that's not her values. She once went to a leather parade on Castro Street. And she boasted that those are the San Francisco values she supports. So she represents the smallest percentage of lunacy in America and has mainstreamed them into becoming those of the Democrat Party. There was an attempt by younger people in the Democrat Party to make it more related to working people, but she fought them off. And she gave a speech saying that everything's fine. Let's listen to Nancy Cuckoo Clock Pelosi right now.
Well, I don't think that people want a new direction. Our values unify us, and our values are about supporting America's working families.
Right, that is one that what are the values of the Democrat Party? Can anyone listening to this program tell me that the values of Nancy Pelosi are the values of the Democrat Party? How many years have I told you I come from an immigrant background? I've had a lot of schleppy jobs my whole life. I struggled most of my life. I understand what it's like to work two jobs, go to school, raise children. Not complaining about it. I was glad I had the opportunity that I had two legs and two hands and a brain. I'm glad I had two hardworking immigrant parents who instilled in me the value of work. It still drives me. But the Democrat Party has unhinged itself from the working person. They tried to throw her out, and she continues to represent the smallest minority of opinion in the country. So what are the real values of the Democrat Party? What are they? Who are they? Those are some of the questions. And statin horror stories. Have you been hurt by these drugs to lower cholesterol? Wait till you hear what I've just learned today.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Victorious strategist only seeks battle after the victory has been won. Military tactics are like water. for water in its natural course runs away from high places and hastens downwards. So in war, the way is to avoid what is strong and strike at what is weak. Those of you who know what I'm quoting, who I'm quoting know that it's Sun Tzu. Sun Tzu, the great Chinese general, wrote a great book called The Art of War. I would say The Art of War is different than The Art of the Deal. And I would say that a nation that has studied strategy, military strategy for ages, is to be reckoned with in a different way than a concrete pourer in Manhattan. And I'm telling you that my position is a strong position. Because the object here is to win against China in a trade dispute without fighting them militarily. Is it not? Can anyone disagree with what I just said? If the object here is not to go to military war with China, but to engage them in such a way that the trade practices are more equitable, wouldn't you rather win that war quietly, behind the scenes, rather than hitting them straight in the nose by reaching out to Taiwan? I don't know who's advising Mr. Trump, but they're not advising him correctly on this. See, here's the problem that you don't understand yet. Most of you haven't grasp it. And I'm talking about the Trump supporters, and there was no greater, and there's no greater supporter of Donald Trump than I. Just because someone wins an election, and he won it by a hairline, a nose, the hair of a nose, and even that's being contested, does not mean that the strategists behind that victory, A, are responsible for the victory, or that they know what they're talking about in other spheres. Just because a man is a genius in the plastics business, for example. Let's say he made his fortune in the internet. Let's say a man made a fortune by investing in Google at the right time or invested in Microsoft at the right time. And then he made $8 billion and he's your great uncle. Does that mean he knows more about everything than you do? No, but very often the hubris attached to making great fortunes has a spillover into every sphere of learning and endeavor. And so you can't take everything that the billionaire says as gospel. You have to analyze each field on its own. And number two, if you're an expert in geophysics, why would you listen to a man who made his money by gambling on Google? You wouldn't. You'd tell him he's wrong. You'd say, look, you made your money by betting on Microsoft and on Google, but you don't know the first thing about astrophysics. So let me tell you what astrophysics are about. Moreover, I'll tell you about what Mars looks like rather than the science fiction version you have, because I'm involved with the Mars Rover project, so I know something about it. And so you go to experts in areas to learn things. You don't assume that you know everything because you're a pollster who no one ever heard of, and all of a sudden you jumped in like a Jenny come lately, and suddenly you're dressed as the witch of all witches, and you know everything about everybody, and you're smarter than everybody at the party. That's not the way it works. Moreover, somebody is misadvising the campaign, the new incoming president. I can tell you, there's things I can't say to you, nor do I expect you to understand what I'm saying to you about everything I say, nor even to agree with me. I do not. This was a major diplomatic blunder before he even began. And to support him now and say, oh, yeah, he did it. You can't do that. You can't do that just because he beat Hillary. And having said that, no matter what he does, we're 1,000% better than if Hillary had won. That I agree with. The cackle alone, just the cackle and the falling and the shoe and the this was enough. And the girls around her, the maniac women who wanted war with Russia, all gone, thank God. So I'm glad he's going to be the president. He'll definitely overcome the recount. It's from Jill Stein, the crank, supported by George Soros and the Southern Poverty Law Center, no doubt, and the other haters of America and everything decent. So he will be president, but he's got to seriously think about whose advice he's listening to. Winning a campaign is one thing. Running a nation and the world is another. The same people who helped you win against your political opponent may not be the right people to advise you when it comes to running the country and the world. Ask anyone who's been in politics. There are people who know a lot more about China than somebody who orders takeout from the best Chinese restaurant on 6th Avenue. So I think I've made my point. I think this was a disaster. I think that it will be settled behind the scenes, but I think he's got to be very careful from now on. Got to be very careful now. Good military leaders why lead your country into a verbal battle where the advantage is not to this nation right now? Why would you attack the enemy where he is strongest, which is in Taiwan, rather than where he is weakest, where his products arrive on our shore? In other words, if you want to attack China for their trade policies, you start by saying, well, when I become president, I may impose tariffs. Or when I become president, we may do this and that here domestically. But you don't attack the enemy where the enemy is strongest, which is with his military surrounding Taiwan. Unless you'd like a little thermonuclear war to start with, to warm up the seats for the inauguration. Wouldn't you want to establish a better position from which to attack the most difficult changes that you want? Sun Tzu, again, the art of war. You can be sure in succeeding in your attacks if you only attack places which are undefended. That's the opposite of what he just did with Taiwan. Okay, I'll give you another example. He will win who knows when to fight and when not to fight. That's the biggest one in the world. If you're driving on the road and an idiot cuts you off with a Hillary bumper sticker and gives you the finger and you hate her, immediately hate her, do you want to run home and chase that car home like an idiot? You want to follow your emotions? No. You got to learn to suppress your emotions. Sun Tzu says a clever general avoids an army when its spirit is keen, but it attacks it when it is sluggish and inclined to return. That's an interesting one. It's an interesting one. Sun Tzu is a good book to read. We all quoted Sun Tzu for years. Now that we see Sun Tzu's advice, the art of war, being violated by Robespierre and Madame Defarge, suddenly we support it. Some people are making wrong decisions for their boss without his knowledge. And he's now got to step in and get mad at them and say, you're wrong and you better watch your step. So, I don't know. Am I right or wrong on this? I'd rather not hear from Hillary voters, because you're always going to say now I'm right, even though you hate Trump and me. That's stupid. I would like to hear from Trump supporters who agree with me. That's what I want to hear with. WABC Dan, go ahead. Dan, I don't know who you voted for, but tell me your background, please.
Yes. Hi, Michael. I spent many years as a contract negotiator with Asian companies, and China was one of our huge clients. We negotiated many, many contracts with them. I voted for Trump. And in my opinion, taking a phone call from the Taiwanese is not the worst problem. The worst problem is that it's publicly announced. Bluster doesn't work.
Okay, so you agree with me that it was a blunder?
Yes, I do. I think the Chinese don't bluster. They do. If you sit and negotiate with them, they will agree to pretty much anything you want, and then they'll go and do what they want anyway.
Right, right. I've seen that 1,000 times.
But they consider themselves honest, and they'll pay you. They don't fall short on paying bills and things like that. I mean, maybe, you know, they're full with their money is a separate issue. But I think this loud, blustery approach is a mistake, because you're just going to put their back up against the wall. He can open negotiations as much as he wants with Taiwan and let them know about it, but it's all got to be done. And you said this earlier, and I felt good because I felt the same way. You got to do back channels with them.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm not a diplomat, but I'm a man of common sense, and I also understand cultural differences. And I believe the people around them don't know either.
Yeah, I was very surprised. I don't know how he's going to work out. When I hear that, I come to the conclusion that despite his background, he probably was not the lead guy on a lot of these negotiations that he talked about. That he had, you know, good professional people working for him. And
all right. Well, we accept that. That's Reagan-esque, to hire good people to do it for you.
Exactly.
But when the people who are advising you are making mistakes right up front, you got to get rid of them, don't you?
Yes, I think so. And I think he's okay at getting rid of people he don't think are going to help him any further. I think he's strong.
Oh yeah, that's pretty true. So Dan,
okay,
you negotiated in Taiwan or in China?
In China.
In China. And do you speak Mandarin?
No, I'm sorry. No, I negotiate with the Chinese, not Taiwanese, the Chinese. No, I don't speak any Chinese. I worked from here in the U.S.
But how do you negotiate with the Chinese if you don't speak the language?
Oh, no, because the Chinese that we negotiated with, all the our contacts that spoke them, they all spoke English.
All right, so they were negotiating with your American companies, and you represented the American companies.
Yes. Yes, that's
all right. So it's the same thing. In other words, you know how to deal with their culture, and it's a lot different than dealing with American businessmen. Is that what you're saying?
Totally different, yes. If you go in with a mindset that you're dealing with American businessmen, you're just going to come out on the wrong end of it. It's a different mindset. It's not corrupt. It's not dishonest. It's not any of those things that people might want to paint it as. It's just different.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure you have read The Art of War along the way, and I'm sure you had to read it in your business dealings, or you're just a street-smart New York guy.
I think I'm mostly a street smart New York guy. I did start to read it. I went through it a bit. But I've discussed it with many people. It's just a different...
Well, there's different styles of being a leader. Many different styles. Donald Trump is a more blunt, forthright, in-your-face kind of leader. The exact opposite of what we need with China, in my opinion. Do you agree or disagree?
No, I agree. I agree.
So you see what I'm saying here... is that it may be right for him to deal with the liberal enemies in America in a blunt, forthright, in-your-face fashion, because they need a beating. They haven't had one yet. They need a good one. But dealing with the Chinese, who are thermonuclear power and an economic powerhouse, is quite another story. That's not dealing with CNN. That's not Mort Zucker, or whatever his name is, Jeff Zucker. Okay, the president of China is not Jeff Zucker from Brooklyn.
A while ago, talk about a woman, say basically, she never gives in, she just changes her mind. That's what the Chinese do.
That's very funny.
All right.
Say that again. I missed the half of that sentence. Say that again.
It's a song about a woman. It says basically, she doesn't give in, she just changes her mind.
Oh, that's so beautiful. I never heard that one before. So that's a different way of negotiating. That's great. All right. Now, this is a beautiful show. I love it. Okay, you have children or grandchildren. I'm sending you a copy of Teddy and Me. It's not political. I think you'll love it for the holidays. Do you have a kid, grandchildren, anything?
You. The only thing I want in this last election primarily, basically, is to get rid of Hillary. You know, and so.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Well, we all do. We're all breathing a sigh of relief.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that we, the voters and supporters, I myself, at the top of the list, have to be yes men now, do we? We're not allowed to say one word of criticism. That makes us disloyal?
I do get heat from other Trump supporters when I do criticize them.
See, this is the problem we're going to face now, is that the true believers are becoming semi-fascistic in their demands for 100% allegiance. That's a dangerous, dangerous thing to do for any leader, whether they're liberal or conservative. So I thank you very much for calling, and there's a copy of Teddy and Me going out to you. And time is just a flying. The phone number is 19 minutes after the hour. I also want to get to stating the horror stories. Many of you are taking these drugs to lower cholesterol. You know that I've been obsessed with this topic all the years I've been on radio. And I want to talk about that. I've given it a new name for you, which I'll give it out. Someone will steal it. It'll be a book title tomorrow. So I can't give you the right come on. But there's an obsession now with lowering cholesterol, especially the, quote, bad cholesterol and raising the good cholesterol. Wait until you hear about what just came out in studies. You're not going to believe it.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Trump's kitchen cabinet. I wouldn't have advised this. Let's put it to you that way. If he had called in really wise men for their, and I mean, let's say a council of 15, 20 people, instead of using a failed pollster and a guy who ran a website, and God knows who else is whispering in his ear, I wouldn't have advised this. I would say, hold your horses, don't call Taiwan, or don't take the call from Taiwan. I'd say, look, Mr. Trump, you don't have the time, but I've read The Art of War by Sun Tzu, and just got to understand the Chinese live by it. They've been living by it for centuries. And he would say, okay, what is that? Donald Trump and I speak the same language. The number one principle of Sun Tzu, the great Chinese general, the ancient general, is this. All warfare is based on deception. When able to attack, he wrote, we must seem unable. When using our forces, we must seem inactive. When we are near, we must make the enemy believe we are far away. When far away, we must make him believe we are near. This is the exact opposite. the web developer and the pollster saying, oh, yeah, yeah, attack him. Sure, yeah, yeah, show those Republicans. Show them we're on the side of Taiwan. Yeah, you show them. You show them. Scare them. Wrong. Wrong, Mr. Trump. Wrong. You're not dealing with liberals in America. Many, many things you have to consider. You're dealing with an I have to tell you what it is. We don't want actual fighting with China, do we? What do you want with China? What is the end goal of this administration's relationship with China? What did we elect Donald Trump for? One of the main things we said he told us was he was going to make trade more fair with China. He said it over and over again on this show and others. With Mexico. He said our trade negotiators are stupid. Is this smart power to attack them with Taiwan? I would think you do it behind the scenes. You sit down and you talk to them. You get a good trade negotiator. You get one of the hedge fund guys from New York who's a tough guy. And you have them talk to the Chinese behind the closed doors where there's no face lost. That's what you do. You don't start a diplomatic row over nothing.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282.
Savage.
Sun Tzu, that should be read in Trump Tower, rather than The Art of Winning an Election. Number six, said Sun Tzu, the skillful leader subdues the enemy's troops without any fighting. He captures their cities without laying siege to them. He overthrows their kingdom without lengthy operations in the field. It's amazing. It's a different way of looking at things. It's not blunt force trauma. There are three ways in which a ruler can bring misfortune upon his army. Read it. And you should read all of it. Tactical dispositions. All right, there's so many interesting things, and I know that many people in academies read these things. I'm sure people at West Point read these things in addition to Jenny Has Two Mommies or Tommy Has Three Fathers or how to have a sex change operation at the cost of the taxpayer. I'm sure occasionally they study strategy now. Under Ash Carter, though, it's hard to say. So I think we've covered this. That's all. You want to finish it up, we'll take the calls. What the ancients called a clever fighter is one who not only wins, but excels in winning with ease. He wins his battles by making no mistakes. The skillful fighter puts himself into a position which makes defeat impossible and does not miss the moment for defeating the enemy. This is very interesting. I don't have to read it to you. You can read it yourself. It's about strategy. It's about energy. And the rules are different than that of winning a campaign that you just won. So, look, the bottom line is that all of warfare is deceit. And also in battle, there are not more than two methods of attack, the direct and the indirect. The direct and the indirect. So Donald Trump is using one method of attacking China, which is the direct. That worked during the campaign because it riled up we the idiots. We the deplorables. We were foolish, we're idiots, we're morons, and such, according to Hillary Clinton, we are the deplorables. Well, now we're sitting here and we're watching Tweedledee and Tweedledum making crazy decisions for Donald Trump. And what I'm saying as an outsider looking in, someone who has stimulated a lot of people to vote, millions of you voted because of me. I can say that with all, let us say, truthfulness. I'm not saying it just to boast or whatever. I know it's true. Let's put it to you this way. What if I had sat out the election? What if I had become one of the never Trumpsters, which I wasn't? Or what if I had just been neutral and said I'm not voting for anyone? You wouldn't have voted for him. Many of you wouldn't have voted for him, and he would have lost. As it is, the slim margin of victory is still hanging in the balance. So you could argue that this show, amongst several, were critical in his election, right? So therefore, I feel an obligation to my followers or listeners, or those who listen to me at all to draw their own conclusions. I have an obligation to retain my independence, to not seek favors, to not beg for anything from the minions that surround Donald Trump, and to retain the ability to say, I'm sorry, sir, I think that you made a mistake here, and let's think carefully next time. That is something Donald Trump will learn to respect if he doesn't already. My guess is, the few times I've had him on the show, going back to 2011, is he likes honesty more than anything else, and he loves loyalty. And the most loyal person is someone who gives you constructive criticism. The most disloyal person in any organization is the individual who gives you, supports you at all costs, even when you're wrong. In other words, let's say you're not sure, you did something, you're not sure it was right or wrong, and you go to this person, and the person basically sucks up to you and tells you, oh yeah, that was terrific, that was great, don't worry, you're going to be great, that was great, don't worry, blah, blah. They're the worst people you could have around you, because they're never going to keep you on track, and you're no longer trying to appeal to a certain limited audience anymore. You now have the whole world to deal with. It's a different story than running a campaign. And I have to keep repeating that. He is not yet inaugurated. He's not yet president. This was an unnecessary blunder. It was a weakness, not a strength, to do this. And I believe that whoever advised him should be found out and thrown out on this. That I can tell you, because they're going to do it again. Whoever did this on Taiwan is going to do it again on something else. KSFO Warren, welcome to the program from KSFO, right in my backyard. What's on your mind from San Francisco?
Yes, Dr. Savage, I do medical missionary work, and I've been in China multiple times. You are absolutely right. You can do almost anything you want in China as long as you don't thwart their authority. If you thwart their authority, they run over you with a tank in Tiananmen Square. If you don't, then you can do almost anything you want. And that other gentleman that called you is absolutely right. They change their mind. They allow us to do medical missionary work today. Tomorrow they won't. The next day after that, they'll allow it. You cannot thwart their authority. He's dealing incorrectly, and I am a Trump supporter.
You see, that's a great call. Look, I go purely on logic and knowledge of cultures. This was not the same as dealing with Hillary Clinton or the liberals or the press. It's one thing to attack Wolf Blitzer, who's a weakling and a coward and a liar, here domestically, and call him that. But it's another thing to do that with the nation of China. You're agreeing with that point, right?
Absolutely. You can't. The Chinese cannot lose faith. That is the most important thing to them. They cannot lose faith, and you cannot thwart their authority openly on the media. That's a mistake.
Do you speak Chinese?
No, I don't. I'm from New York City, just like you. But I've been out in California for about 25 years. I do not.
What, you're a medical doctor who does medical work in China?
Well, I have an office, a regular office in my area, but I also have an organization, and we go out and we do medical missionary work all over the world. But I've been in China about 10 times. I first started going there in 1989, and things have changed. But if you go along with what they say, they'll let you do it.
Warren, let me ask you the most important part of this conversation. Do you live in San Francisco?
No. I live in Paso Robles, which is halfway between L.A. and...
Oh, because you're calling on KSFO online. I was going to ask you your favorite Chinese restaurant. I was going to make it very personal. Listen to me. Let me tell you something. It all comes down to food at a certain point. How is the Chinese food in China? Is it as good as San Francisco's Chinese food?
No.
No. See, this is the funny thing. Italian food in New York is better than Italian food in Rome.
Well,
I remember how stunned I was when I went to Rome when I was very young. I was 20, 18, I remember. And first of all, the pizza was dreadful in Italy. And number two, the sauce was bad. It was only when I got back to New York and went down to Little Italy that I ate Italian food that had any taste to it. So it's the same with Chinese food here in San Francisco. First of all, the ingredients are better here. They're safer and the food is better.
Right.
I would just imagine if you try to get Chinese food in China and you told them, oh, listen, I want gluten-free wheat on my dim sum. And let's see, no dairy, no MSG. They wouldn't know what you were talking about. They'd throw you out of the restaurant.
Well, they have very good dog in China.
And that's terrible, isn't it? They're actually raising dogs in dog farms and slaughtering them for food. You ate dog? You ate dog as a doctor over there?
No, absolutely not.
I was afraid to hear you say yes, that you tried the dog and you like poodle better than you like Dalmatian.
Sure, German Shepherd's the best.
Oh, don't be mean. Doctor, I am sending you Teddy and Me, Confessions of a Service Human, because I have a great affinity for dog. That's all. It is 18 minutes to the hour. We have one open line at 855-417-282, although I wanted to talk about other topics. You only want to talk about the China thing. And the Taiwan issue is so interesting. It's so interesting from a cultural standpoint. Most importantly, from a... Look, when Taiwan broke away from China, it was over the economic policies of the central Chinese communist government that was emerging under Mao Zedong. Let's start with that. Chiang Kai-shek fought the good battle. The Taiwanese built a dynamo of an economy based on capitalism, and they thrived. And China was suffering through the 50s, through the 60s, into the 70s, because they were locked into an old-line Chinese communist economic model of the same type that Castro was using, the same type that is still being used in North Korea, on a smaller scale, what Obama learned probably from his mentors and still thinks would work better. And it was only recently, and rather recently, that China introduced a mixed capitalist-communist economy, and of course the rest is history. Now, in addition to that, they bought out this country out through consultants who are working the aisles of Congress as I speak. Madeleine Albright is one of them. Bob Dole was another one of them. Many, many people sold us down the river by consulting with Chinese companies and consulting with politicians here and giving them favorable trade policies that were unfavorable to the American worker, in plain English. But here's the point I'm trying to make, is that in the beginning there was a huge difference between the Taiwanese economy and the communist Chinese economy. Those differences have rather evaporated, incidentally. Today, if you look at the number of Rolls Royces sold around the world, see how many are sold in China. They're not being driven by communist Chinese officials. They're being driven by fake communist Chinese officials who speak the party line, but conduct business, make a fortune, and buy a lot of stuff. They buy hotels in California. They buy our wheat fields, our corn fields, our soy fields. You want to talk about trading with China? If I were Mr. Trump's advisor, one of the things I'd advise, in addition to talking about tariffs on Chinese goods, unless they trade more fairly, I would prohibit foreign ownership of any of our essential industries and crops. I would absolutely not, and I don't mean just the Chinese, I would not permit any foreign countries, I would not let them own our wheat fields, nor our soy fields, nor our corn fields. In fact, Canada doesn't permit it, and they're a socialist country. About 4 years ago, I looked into buying land in Canada, and I found out that they do not permit foreigners to own more than 10 acres of, you know, viable farmland. Did you know that? Why does this country permit foreign countries to buy thousands upon thousands of acres of our most valuable productive farmland? Why do they permit that? Because it's a nation without any sanity, without any morals, without any balance, without any long vision. And I believe that coming to a disagreement with China before he even takes office over an issue as remote right now as Taiwan, in other words, it wasn't an issue that was... Did this have to happen? Now, let's put it to you that way. Was that an important issue to bring up right now? No. What was an important issue? Go back a month. Donald Trump was on this radio show, The Savage Nation. Who was trying to start a war with Russia? Hillary Clinton. Not Obama, to his credit. I must tell you, Obama was a lifetime pacifist, avoided war at all costs. At least he was true to his liberal roots. The only people he attacked viciously were his domestic political enemies, because that's the only thing he learned as a community organizer. He was a smear artist as a president. That's how he became a senator, by smearing the man he was running against. He was a smear artist only for his conservative enemies here domestically, but internationally, he was a pacifist. And he did not drag us into any wars to any extent, right? So why all of a sudden must we now have, as it is, a shouting match with China over Taiwan, when there was no such need for this? It was Russia that was a problem, because there was no problem. And the problem was caused by Hillary Clinton, who her and her gang of girls wanted a war with Russia in the worst way over Syria. They wanted a war. So far as I can tell, the neocons, some of whom want, one of whom still wants to be Secretary of State, he should be avoided at all costs. You want me to tell you who it is? There's a couple of candidates for Secretary of State. One of them should not be considered whatsoever. He should be sent back to MSNBC. I don't have to mention his name. The guy looks like a walrus. He's a neocon. A neocon who is for war, 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 war. He represents the defense industry. He must not be made Secretary of State. What you need is someone who knows war, has seen men die in their arms, has seen men die on the battlefield, has seen men without legs and without arms and without eyes in hospitals, and knows that war is the last recourse and the last resort, not the first thing. So now why would you antagonize China like this unless you yourself have never fired a gun, don't know the first thing about warfare, nor about the art of war, nor about the art of negotiation? So, my friends, I have to say to you, it's Robespierre and Madame Defarge who seem to be making hysterical decisions for their boss without his knowledge. Without his knowledge, and I think Tweedledee and Tweedledum are now making huge decisions that shouldn't be made.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Exactly what was happening. But look, we've got a lot of problems to solve in this country, and we're not going to solve them by just, you know,
okay, here is the official voice of the, okay, this is the official voice of the Republican National Committee in the form of Renzo Priebus, supporting Mr. Trump and speaking to the Taiwan president. You know, I disagree with that. And the strongest leader has people around him who are willing to respectfully disagree with them. The weakest leader is the one who will not permit anyone with a differing opinion to express that opinion around him. That's a weak leader doomed for disaster. And that's not Lao Tzu, that's Lao Mi. Let me read from Lao Tzu's The Art of War. Are you ready for it? The spot where we intend to fight must not be made known, for then the enemy will have to prepare against the possible attack at several different points. Oh, really? The spot where we intend to fight must not be made known. That's very clever. So right away, there we go. Now have a fight over Taiwan when we didn't have to have it. We didn't need this fight. That's the whole point I'm trying to make. Did we need this? What for? What do we need this for right now? Stupid. What are the values of the Democrat Party? There are no values. It's marginal. That's why they lost. Who do you prefer for Secretary of State? And again, horror stories from the world of statins. You know, I don't mean Staten Island. I'm talking about the statin class of drugs, Lipitor, etc. There are heroic problems with these drugs that are being hidden from you by the medical pharmaceutical complex. And new studies have come out which have shown that the good cholesterol may be bad and the bad cholesterol may be good. That it may be your body actually protecting itself in its own way. Did you know any of this? Well, I do. This is what I do for a living in addition to doing this for a living. It's something I know something about.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
You get the picture. Chinese music, Chinese discussion, Taiwan blunder. The whole story, that's all. That's what we're talking about. The skillful tactician may be likened to the Shui Zhan. The Shui Zhan is a snake that is found in the Chung Mountains. Strike at its head and you'll be attacked by its tail. Strike at its tail and you'll be attacked by its head. Strike at its middle and you'll be attacked by head and tail both. I don't know that they studied that in polling 101 or in inveigling your way into a website 102. But I do know that skillful tacticians are desperately wanted in Trump Tower right now. It is no longer a campaign against, quote, the liberals. It is no longer a campaign against crazy Hillary. Or against Nutty Nancy, or against the media. It is now a campaign that must go into a different realm, a realm of actual diplomacy, a realm of actual knowledge, a realm of actual tactics, a realm that understands the world as it really is, as opposed to a bunch of sound bites on a sheet of paper. You're dealing with an ancient culture, a culture that has seen enemies like us come and go 100 times through its history. I know that sounds odd for you to hear that. We're a very young country. It doesn't mean we're weak or we're stupid. It doesn't mean that we have stupid people running the country or this is a campaign at all. But it means that things have to be done differently and more tactically. And so that's what we've been talking about. It's that simple. So, what more do I have to say about it? I don't think I have to keep over and over the same thing. I made my point, but if you want to make the point that you want to make, go ahead. 855-407-282. Marianne, KSFO. Let's limit it to 30 seconds or less. Don't tell me how great I am or how you love me or ask me how Teddy is. I'll just say, Marianne, you're up 30 seconds or less, and we go on. Marianne, KSFO, line 6, make your point.
I voted for Donald Trump. I support him, but he made a tactical error. When you're dealing with the Chinese or the Asians, and I dealt there, I had a manufacturing business, you have to allow them to save face. So I absolutely agree he blundered. I also think that he needs to stop tweeting. That's going to be...
I agree 100%. It's rife to mistakes in the middle of the night.
You've got it.
Let's put it another way. Let's say you're a man who is you're full of energy. You have thoughts that are very clear to you in the middle of the night. What you do is you dictate them into a machine. And then you have them typed up for you and you look at them in the morning and you discuss them with the staff. And then you decide which of them to throw out. Or you write them in a journal. I have journals going back 30 years. Some of the stuff I look at is very, very smart. Some of it is stupid. So why would I want to publish everything that came into my mind? I wouldn't do that.
100.
Marianne, what kind of manufacturing plant did you have?
I manufactured clothing and wood. I worked in Bangkok, Hong Kong, Taiwan. I did not work in China. And we had...
But you know the Chinese mindset. So my reading Sun Tzu, The Art of War, probably rings true to you, correct?
It rings true, yes, but I have never read it.
You've heard some of it today, though, haven't you?
I certainly have.
That's sweet. Okay, Teddy and me goes out to you for the holidays. Let's get some other callers. FTL, Chris, line 2 from Florida. What's on your mind, Chris?
First of all, I love that you're reading The Art of War. I studied classical martial arts, and as soon as the sensei, you know, your teacher, they realized that you were serious, you know, that you hadn't just watched, like, The Karate Kid too many times, but you were a serious student, that's what they would give you as a gift. They would give you that book because they wanted you to understand what you were doing, that it was battle, and how to, you know, interact with your opponent. So I love that.
All right. So you're a martial artist, but you're also a businessman, correct?
That's right. Yeah, I did. I was working for a major paper corporation, and they merged. It was a merger of two companies. So I went to Singapore, Tokyo, and I went to Shanghai, China. You know, they'd have two sales offices, and I would go there to help them with their IT, to merge those two offices to, you know, one new office. And what they did, I can't believe what they did. I mean, as soon as my company told me they wanted me to go to China or Singapore or Japan, they had me study the culture. I had to understand there were so many little things that I knew ahead of time so that when I went over there, I was successful. And I wasn't even negotiating big deals. I was just assisting them.
Yes, it's a different culture. It's a different culture going back thousands of years.
Right.
And the Art of War by Sun Tzu has many things written in it by the great general that is still taught, by the way, in war colleges around the world. One of the things he said is all warfare is based on deception. I'm sure you learned that, correct?
Right.
I mean, any fighter, whether it be a kid in a schoolyard or a boxer or a martial artist, uses tactics known as feigning, correct?
That's right. That's right.
In other words, you make believe you're going to throw a right when you throw a left, or you duck when you're going to hit from the top. So why would he come out like this and come out so clearly in a truculent manner, saying these things, reaching out diplomatically to Taiwan when we know it's a hot-button issue to China? What could be gained by that is what I'm asking.
Nothing. And that's why I can't believe it's him, because he's much more cultured. It sounds like...
That is correct. And I can guarantee you he has buildings in China, and it's someone around him, around the King's Guard. It's one of the Praetorian Guard that advised this. It is either from the RNC itself, which I cannot believe that they're that stupid, nor do they even have the brains or the guts to come up with this, so it can't be them. So my first choice was Ellen Chao, who was Mitch McConnell's wife, who was from Taiwan. She could have tried to cash in a chip before she even became Transportation Secretary. And the other choices are either Robespierre or Madame Defarge. Silence. Why are you silent when I say Robespierre or Madame Defarge?
I'm thinking about this like he's got a millennial or someone who.
No, I'm giving. You know, I give nicknames to people in politics. I've already given nicknames just now. I believe that the team that is advising the president is going to be gone very shortly. I don't think that he's going to need them very soon. I think they're making mistakes. That's my personal opinion. I have no idea what his decision making is like. But if they make a blunder on an international level as great as this, and I have to assume that they did it, not him, he needs to get smarter people around him.
You know, one of the first things I learned when I went to China was, first, you had to learn a little bit of the speech, a little bit. Now, they speak perfect English, they're taught it in school. They probably know it better than we do. So you don't have to switch, but it's a courtesy. You show that you took the time to learn that language.
Oh, look, I've seen that here in America with Mexican waiters. If I speak a little Spanish, their faces light up. They're very happy that I even reached out to them in Spanish. I mean, it's the same with every culture.
Yeah, yeah. I do the same. It's more like Spanglish. It's not too good, but...
Of course, we mix English and Spanish together. I studied a language for 7 years. But the minute I say anything in Spanish to anyone who speaks the Mexican version of Spanish or the Guatemalan version of Spanish or Central America, any of those versions, if I even say anything in Spanish, they look at me and they say, oh, my God, they say in Spanish, you speak the language. And I say to them in Spanish, I think, estudio español para 7 años en Nueva York. So right away, they think that I'm a different person than an ordinary gringo, and I probably am. But then I say to them, you know, I forgot a lot of the language, but it builds a bridge with another culture, is what I'm saying. And I believe that to hit the Chinese in the face like this is not smart. And I think that we're going to see a correction very shortly. That would be my guess right now. They're going to get a China expert in there pretty quickly, and they're going to advise them on protocol. They're going to advise them on the cultural differences. They're going to advise them to make a maneuver right now that goes in the opposite direction, a public one, by the way. Would you guess that I'm correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
But I don't know. Donald Trump could be of the nature of to double down on this. I don't know what he's going to do. If I were advising him, and I'm not, I would advise him to come out and modify his statement and not just do, well, we didn't really call him, they called me, it was a simple courtesy call, let's move on. It's much too big an international incident for him to just brush it off. I don't think that that should be done. I think that we have very serious negotiations ahead of us with China on trade issues, and I think that the most important thing to do is to do it in a way that's behind closed doors, not to do it on a frontal assault.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Well, there are people who are going to disagree with me, but that's what makes for a country that's viable and great, which is that we can disagree with each other without hating each other, and I thank you for the call, Chris. 855-407-282, the time is a-flying. None of you want to talk about any of the other topics. This is it. No one's answered, who do you want for Secretary of State? It's an interesting question. A lot of people were vying for the role. Who was that? Giuliani wanted it, right? Was he up for that? He's out of the running, they said, as of last week, because he campaigned too publicly for it. That was the rumor. You hear this? That's very interesting diplomatically. Then there was Walras. Walras, I think, was a early comer. Walras is now back looking for a job in a green room. Then there was Petraeus. How do you feel about Petraeus being Secretary of State, I asked. No one talked about that. And millions taking controversial heart drug unnecessarily, report confirms. Unbelievable. You say statins, I say statin. Because many of you are taking them and you're suffering the side effects. I'm very lucky in that I very, very rarely use any medication. So any ones that I take affect me immediately and in very low doses. I've been put on statins 3 or 4 times. I get sick immediately. One dose, my legs go out. I stop taking them. I will not take anything to go with them. Because it's affecting my liver, it's affecting everything in my body, and I trust my body knows what it's doing. And there are millions and millions of people who are taking these drugs with side effects. And now a study comes out that says that millions taking these drugs should not be taking them. But you have to understand that the medical pharmaceutical complex is very powerful. Yes, they reduce LDL cholesterol in the blood. However, not one study has shown that these statins, or statins if you want to call them that, prevent heart attack in people who have not had a heart attack. I don't see one viable study that supports that. I have seen studies that have shown that people who have had heart attacks have a lower chance of taking heart attacks if they take this class of drugs. But I do not see a preventive role for the statins in any of the literature to prevent a first heart attack. I've not seen any change on that. And they cause muscle weakness in some people, and many people stop taking the medication as a result of this. It's a very important study to look at, and I did. And I would say to you, you ought to really look into the side effects. I know that many of you take CoQ to go with it, which is great. I take CoQ without it. I also take vitamin E in megadoses. I take vitamin C in megadoses. I take other medications which are strictly antioxidant, prevent the cholesterol. It's actually a saturated fat from coalescing in the arteries. Let me put it to you that way. You see, the whole thing about atherosclerosis that I've studied for over 40 years, and I'm no expert, but if you study something for 40 years, you become somewhat knowledgeable. Let's put it to you that way. I don't just read newspaper articles. I was obsessed with the topic because my father died, rest his soul, at very young, my grandfather, my great-grandfather. So I thought I'd be assured death by 30. I honestly did. I mean, that's the way it was. I had young children. I was terrified I was going to leave them. So I became obsessed with this whole issue of heart attacks. I traveled many remote areas of the world looking for answers to cures and this and that and ethnic differences in heart attacks and culture and disease and diet. And I satisfied myself that I learned certain things. Diet is the number one. Okay, genetics is the number one thing. Diet is the number two thing. Antioxidants are the number three thing. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. It is crazy. I mean, okay, Lao Tzu, The Art of War, again, number 26. This is a great one. The general who wins a battle makes many calculations in his temple before the battle is fought. The general who loses a battle makes but few calculations beforehand. Thus, do many calculations lead to victory, and few calculations to defeat. How much more no calculation at all? It is by attention to this point that I can foresee who is likely to win or lose. This is pretty amazing. Now, you see why it's still being taught at West Point, VMI, and all other military colleges around the world. It was written thousands of years ago by Lao Tzu in The Art of War. So you can see strategy is still being taught, except perhaps those who are studying much more important things, such as sex reassignment surgery for transgenders in the military, because, as you know, that trumps everything in Obama's military. That's a value. That's an American value, is to make certain that anyone who's a transgender can have sex reassignment surgery at the cost of hundreds of thousands of dollars and absolutely no active duty work at all for many years. Because that's what Ashton Carter said is important. Remember that speech, that lunatic? You talk about insanity. This is a country that's upside down in so many ways, it's unbelievable. Hundreds of thousands of dollars. Never mind. Okay, it's 15 grand to cut a Schmeckler off. And I don't know how much it costs to put one on. I said, look, you want to save money on a thing like this. If it costs $15,000 to remove a male appendage in the military, I think that was the going rate. I think it costs more to put one on. You could save it. You could save a lot of money in the military if you actually put, if the, let's say you took something off a man who wants to be a woman. Why throw it out? Save it. You put it on dry ice, cryogenics, and you use it. Then if a woman wants to be a man, right away you got cost savings. But they're not even doing cost savings like that in the military. They're throwing them in the garbage. So right away, I would tighten it up there. Come on, I'm just pulling your leg on this stuff. This is how they're thinking. This is your defense secretary, Ashton Carter. Let's pray that Mr. Mattis does better.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Over the weekend, we heard from Mr. Petraeus, General Petraeus, appearing on some shows because he's lobbying to become Secretary of State. And I believe he went on George, whatever his name is. You know, I'm not a fan of George Stephanopoulos. I think he's a cretin. I believe he never should have been in the media to begin with. He's just a pretty boy with a script. But everyone kowtows to these people for the wrong reasons. So David Petraeus, who I think is a great man and a great general, along, by the way, McChrystal was another great general. We have some of our great generals are gone, by the way. Petraeus was a good one, if not a, I wouldn't say great one, but a good one. McChrystal was the real McCoy. These are good men. These are strong men, smart men, educated men. And he wants, that is, Mr. Petraeus would like to be Secretary of State, so he's lobbying for it. So he goes on the ABC show on Sunday, and he's one of the four finalists in the running to be the nation's next top diplomat. And that's a very big story, because I would lead you to understand something. Who the Secretary of State appoints in any administration is extremely important. Do you know that the Secretary of State appoints leaders of the Interior Department, Agriculture Department, Labor Department, HUD, House of Housing and Urban Development? He appoints Energy, Veterans Affairs, Homeland Security, the EPA, Small Business Administration, and the OMB. All are appointed by the Secretary of State. Do you realize how important this position is and why all of these agencies are screwed up? Because it was Hillary Clinton who did all these appointments in the past. And so what I would say to you is, I would give you a question, which is Petraeus the best choice? Is he better than Giuliani, for example, or any of the others in the running? I think it's a great question because we're coming into some serious waters now. But I know most of you want to talk about China. Now, I would think that if he wanted to reach out to China, he could have done it in a much more diplomatic fashion. He could have tweeted, "Wo ai ni," for example, which means I love you. Or he could have done it in Cantonese, "Go ai ni," if that's how you say it. Pardon me if I'm mashing the language. I don't speak a word of Chinese other than to say dofu. Gai, if you're Hakka Chinese, he could have said gai o gi. I like the Hakka a lot because their food is the best, incidentally. Or if he was oriented towards the Shanghainese, he could have said gu en non. Again, these all mean I love you. It's a type of dialectical thing, and I don't mean dialectical materialism. I mean simply dialect. What is the proper way to reach out to China? Now, for Mike Pence to come up and apologize, I'm sorry, to cover up this blunder, as he did, is ludicrous for a number of reasons. Again, I realize I'm not making any friends in the Trump administration, especially Robespierre and Madame Defarge. But my suspicion is that Robespierre and Madame Defarge will be gone from this administration while I'm still on the radio. I'll tell you that right now. See, I'm in it for the long haul. I've always seen things in the long picture, the long march. I've been on a long march for 22 years in radio. And I see myself in radio for a long time to come. I do not see this temporary group around Donald Trump as being there for a very long period of time. For a number of reasons. One, because people are taking credit for him winning who have only been there for 2 months. Where were they 2 years ago? Where were they a year ago? That's number one. Number two, some of them are showing their own ambitions rather than speaking for the president-elect's best interests, in my opinion. And eventually the president-elect will uncover these plotters around him, and they will be looking for jobs. I'm telling you like I see it. So again, you got to understand something here. If I wanted something from the administration, I would bend over backwards to salute everything he does. But I cannot do that in this case. I think it was a blunder. And I don't think he did this on his own. I believe he was advised to do this by people who did not think this through. Reaching out to a potential antagonist who was being antagonized by Obama and stopping a potential blow-up was very wise. But reaching out to China at a time like this was very unwise. We talked for months now about how Trump was going to save the world from war by talking with Russia. You heard Donald Trump say on this program that he would be willing to talk with Mr. Putin before he even took office. That was worldwide news that he made on this radio program. And Donald Trump calmed a lot of tense nerves that those who were poking the bear were inflaming. And we were very happy that Mr. Trump won. But I believe now those behind him made a major mistake. He took a congratulatory call from the president of Taiwan. At least that is what we are told. That's after the fact. It could be he actually called Taiwan. We don't know the truth of that. Now, I'm in the business, I'm going to tell you right now, of seeking the truth. Otherwise, I would retire. There'd be no reason to do this show. I have to call it like I see it. I don't know whether he called Taiwan and got in trouble and then say, okay, put a spin on it, they called me. Doesn't matter. It was a mistake. It was a mistake because he roiled China in a very negative way. Richard Nixon, you may recall, was able to stabilize relations with another major communist power in the middle of the Cold War by recognizing the government of China as the power in charge of Taiwan. This has been the policy of the United States since 1972, and that was Richard Nixon. Don't tell me Richard Nixon was a liberal. It's the policy of this country since 1972, and it's one of the most serious stances that China has ever taken. I believe respecting that without letting them roll Taiwan over is the key to keeping peace in the region. Now, supposedly this call to Taiwan was in the works for a while, but the alarming thing that Trump did here was that his people did not consult with any of our allies or even let them know that this would happen. It puts our allies and many others in that region of the world in a very bad position. So two questions arise out of this. Who pushed Donald Trump to be in contact with Taiwan even before he is president? And I think that we have to look at a number of people. And I would look immediately at some of the appointments he's already announced. For example, I told you last week it was odd that he picked Elaine Chao to be transportation secretary. Remember I said, why did he pick her? Well, I worried about her because she's the wife of Mitch McConnell, and this looks like nepotism number one. But what you may not know is that I believe Ms. Chao, a wonderful woman, is a native of Taiwan, and she may already be influencing our Asia policy. So this leads to the next question. What does this imply and what does it mean? China has been building islands in the South China Sea from where it will have capabilities to launch attacks on Taiwan, Japan, and South Korea, the Philippines, and yes, maybe even Hawaii. There are reports now that before the call was made, China was flying bombers around Taiwan. This is not something to take lightly. While calming tensions in one area of the world, Russia, Trump may have inflamed them elsewhere inadvertently. And if he's leaning towards recognizing Taiwan as an independent nation, he'll have more than a trade war to worry about. He may have a real war to worry about. This was a major blunder before he's even taken office. Now, I recognize that many of you have already made up your minds because you've been brainwashed by talk radio before I even got on the air. But that's only one opinion. People are entitled to their opinion in this country. Now, you listen probably to those who are supporting the president's call to Taiwan, and you've already made up your minds, but you haven't thought it through. And we are going to think it through because I take a different point of view. And my point of view is far more, let us say, diplomatic than those who would think that blundering into a confrontation with China before the seat is even sat upon is a good thing to do. I disagree 100%. Terrible mistake. Terrible mistake. Awful mistake, a blunder of the highest order, and I do not think that Mr. Trump thought this through. I believe Robespierre or Madame Defarge herself may have advised this in the middle of the night. No, my friends, this was a major blunder. Huge diplomatic blunder. And, you know, the more I analyze this mistake, of provoking and poking China at this early in the game, the more I realize that there are people who are rogue inside the administration who don't know what the heck they're doing. Period. End of story. What do you want to do? Worship them? Look, if you want something, you worship people. You tell them they're brilliant no matter what they do. If you have sought the truth in politics your whole life, what you do is you retain your independence, and you retain your independence by being analytical, and you say it the way you see it. It's as simple as that. Because I don't want war with China. You want war with China now? Are you people that stupid? Go put on a uniform and go fight with China now over Taiwan, idiots. All the warmongers are ready. They're jumping up and down. Oh, what a great thing to provoke China. And then Pence is not that smart. I'm sorry. Why, because he's the governor of Indiana? Does that make him a genius? No, it didn't make sense. How do you compare Obama reaching out to Cuba with Trump reaching out to Taiwan? It's like not the same thing. Now, remember, I'm the guy who encouraged Donald Trump to reach out to Russia. So don't think I'm saying this across the board. Don't reach out. I did say reach out to Russia because there was war fever being beaten up by Hillary Clinton and the Girl Scouts around Obama. They were looking for a fight with Russia, which was a disaster. Now we see, okay, he made peace with Russia. Terrific. ISIS is on the run. They're all throwing down their weapons and making believe they were common tailors. And they want to come to Los Angeles as immigrants and open a falafel shop. That's all good. But now what? Now you want war with China? I don't. See, if you want to talk with China about trade, that's one thing. Why would you start a trade discussion by attacking them on Taiwan, which is a sore point? Could you explain that to me? Now, many of you aren't thinking this through. You just listen to people talk and you don't think it through. Let me explain something about the Chinese character or the Chinese culture that you may not be aware of. They're not like us. Their traditions are different than ours. They are extremely sensitive to provocations that are public. That's number one. You've heard 1,000 times they're very, very, very into face saving. Well, there's a reason for it. It's in the DNA. It's encoded in the DNA of the Chinese culture. And to provoke them out front like this is not smart. You want to have an argument with China or a discussion with China over trade policies. You want to impose tariffs, which I've called for in 3 books now. That's one thing. But why would you go about it publicly by provoking them, almost challenging them over Taiwan? How does that advance your cause with regard to currency and trade issues? It doesn't. It's idiotic. It's stupid. So there's a big blunder here. And I don't know who exactly whispered in Mr. Trump's ear to do this so early on in the game. My suspicions would be that it's Elaine Chao. Pardon me if I'm mispronouncing her name. Because I understand she is Taiwanese. And she was appointed immediately. Out of nowhere, she was made or nominated to be Secretary of Transportation. She's Mitch McConnell's wife. So I would say she has deep ties to her homeland. And maybe she owed favors, and right away she wanted to pay her favors back. Now, having said all of that, I'm a huge supporter of the Taiwanese people. I mean, don't think I don't understand the difference between Taiwan and China. I know the history of these two nations and their disputes. I have studied them in great deal for many years, in great detail, sorry, for many years. I'm very aware of the war between the communists and the capitalists. And how the capitalist class went to Taiwan and built a great, great nation because they eschewed communism. I understand Chiang Kai-shek. Trust me, I know the difference. That's not the same as violating protocol. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. We're back on the Savage Nation, and I want to pick up on this issue of who was it who advised Mr. Trump to either take or make that call to Taiwan. According to Fox News, this just came out, and I just got this minutes ago. Taiwan President Tsai Ing-wen called Trump Friday to congratulate him on the election in a call set up by an American third party. Taiwan's official central news agency, citing anonymous sources on Saturday, said that Edwin Fulner, founder of the Washington-based Heritage Foundation, was a crucial figure in setting up communication channels between the sides. Now, this has set off a diplomatic war. Beijing has now sent a complaint to the U.S. government, and the Trump people are saying it was just a phone call, forget about it. It's not going to go away so quickly. But I want to focus on Mr. Fulner, who I do not know, at the Heritage Foundation. The Heritage Foundation has long been at odds with the Tea Party here in America. Did you know that or not? First of all, let me set that up. Let us say both have conservative credentials, which they do. But the Tea Party tends to be isolationist, while the Heritage Foundation tends to be internationalist and pretty anxious, I think, to stick their nose into places all around the world. The Heritage Foundation is filled with dinosaurs who have now come out of the ice. They've been thawed out. The ice has been thawing around them quicker than it has been thawing in the Antarctic. And many of the dinosaurs who were buried in very deep ice in the Heritage Foundation are now being seen roaming around the halls of Trump Tower, advising him in ways that do not make sense for the days we are living in the estimation of this commentator, Michael Savage. We are not living in Ronald Reagan's era. The world has changed since Ronald Reagan. This is a new age. Not everything remains the same. And one of the principal rules of diplomacy or of war is to change with the times and recognize when these changes are occurring and adapt your policies accordingly. I believe this is a mistake, and I believe that Mr. Trump needs to get new advice rather than revitalizing old advice and old advisors. And that's all I want to say on that matter. I don't think that Chinese policy is going to change to the U.S. right now, nor U.S. policy towards China. But I do know this. We want a change with many trading partners, whether they be China or India or Japan or even with Taiwan. I've said to you many times, if you know anything about business, if you know anything about manufacturing, which I know a lot about, I never talk about it, but I know a lot about exporting of products. I don't read textbooks on it. I don't write textbooks on it. Everywhere your products, if they're made in America, are sent, face tariffs. And yet the products coming in from other countries come in tariff-free. Donald Trump said he would change that. That's a good thing. I don't believe you change it by starting a diplomatic row with them over Taiwan at a time like this. It was an unnecessary blunder. It shouldn't have happened. The answer is, apologize for it diplomatically and move on. I'm Michael Savage.
Savage.